happens at Revitalize, the Arizona leaders in functional medicine. And now, helping you be the best you, your host, Dr. Teresa Ramsey.
Hello, good morning. This is Dr. Ramsey from Revitalize Functional Medicine. Thank you for joining us on our podcast again. We always love having you, and we love your suggestions on upcoming shows. Before we get started with today's topic, I just wanted to share that the CDC made a statement thanking alternative practitioners for our tireless time and expertise. And I think that's a huge step, you know, for the government to recognize what we do as something that is good. Because we're so used to being attacked. We're used to years and years and years ago when cancer clinics that were successful in treating naturally were ransacked and shut down because of the CDC. And we've come a long way because in those clinics, guess what they were using? Vitamin C IVs, exactly what we're using now. And the hospitals are using them experimentally. So it's a huge step. And I want to thank the CDC personally for acknowledging our medicine. So I think we have a great show. I think you will like today's show as well. I have two guests. They're two women, and they have been patients with me since 2011. And what I want to talk about is their journey before they met me, how they were like going on the treatment that they're on, and where they are now. So I'll introduce you to both Toby and Paula. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
I know coming out now is difficult as we're social isolating, and I appreciate you guys coming in with your masks on and also doing service. You know, I think coming on this show, you both are offering a great service because, as you know, there's a lot of fear in what you're doing with me, right? And when we first started together, both of you had a lot of questions about safety, 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 safety. I remember that. Mm-hmm. And what we're talking about is hormone replacement therapy. So think back about that, and what were your most concerns that, like, you had before you came to see me or once I started treating you with things?
You want to go first, Paula?
Sure. I'd done a little bit of research with it. I'd read the book that Suzanne Summers wrote. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the name of it. It was one of her very first ones.
Knockout.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so I learned a lot with that book, and I don't know so much that I didn't have a lot of fears. Maybe my biggest fear was the fear of breast cancer with estrogen. Mm-hmm. So that was always something in the back of my mind. And I didn't understand the importance of progesterone
right. That
went along with that. I mean, that was like the big aha moment for me is mm-hmm. when you taught me that.
Right.
And even when I had a scare about a year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was asked to come back and have a second look, and you had told me just the importance of progesterone and what it plays and the role of estrogen. But, you know, getting back to my fear, that probably was the main fear, is just the fear of how estrogen is linked to breast cancer because my mom.
Right. That is such a common question. So yeah. You have a family history of breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
I know your mom.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anybody else besides your mom? Aunts, uncles, grandmothers?
Our grandmother on our father's side.
So both maternal and paternal breast cancer risks.
Yes. Yeah.
And I will say that is the number one fear that patients have, and it's the number one fear that physicians have.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk more about like what you went through, but I would like to say, you know, I spent this whole weekend with my teacher online, you know, doing a level of, you know, and it's literally 8 to 6, just looking at articles after articles after articles after articles. And, you know, it's ironic because women don't die of breast cancer. They die of heart disease.
Mm-hmm.
They develop dementia. They have hip fractures, right? But the breast cancer is a big one. And I want to try to explain why it's such a big one in the world, like why people think this. And then we can share a little bit about how we have learned that it's completely the opposite. And I'm not going to take up too much time because I want to hear more from you guys. But in observational studies, we saw an increased risk of breast cancer in women with high estrogen levels. And those women, as we observed these women, a lot of them were obese. And we store we store a form of estrogen in our gut called estrone that can be a really inflammatory estrogen. I don't think any estrogen is inflammatory at all, but it's the type of estrogen in subcutaneous fat. when you intervene and you give estrogen versus doing an observational study, you watch for outcomes. And you compare it to a group that doesn't take it. And when you look at a study like the WHI that came out in 2002, and the women who took Premarin had a recurrence rate of breast cancer at 9.9%, and the women who took a placebo had a recurrence rate of 20%. So the women who took Premarin had a lower risk of breast cancer than the placebo. And the most common studies back then were done on PremPro, which is a synthetic progestin. That is worse. The synthetic progestin increases the risk of breast cancer across the board, and women don't feel good on it. So everyone thought that study stopped. It didn't stop. It just one arm stopped. Premarin went longer because the risk of heart disease went down to 0.6, which is 40% reduction compared to placebo. I'm not going to go on and on because I want to hear about you, but we know statistically, this is not a guess what I'm prescribing to you, there is a significant statistical reduction in breast cancer with women who take estradiol. We'll go over the other hormones too, but why do we think it? Because when women get a breast cancer that's estrogen positive, oncologists say estrogen caused that breast cancer. And that couldn't be further from the truth. It's playing a role in the breast cancer. It's an innocent bystander. The damage was in the DNA. The estrogen's just communicating. And yes, it's stimulating growth like it did when we were young and went through puberty and developed breast cells. That's because estrogen communicated and, you know, made the breast cells larger. So whatever's there, so if it's sick, it's just keeping it alive, basically, right? Doesn't mean it caused it by any means. There was no study on estradiol that showed increased risk of breast cancer. But that's why we think. And then we block estrogen. Do you, either one of you, you've been patients long enough, I don't know if you know the answer. If you don't, it's fine. Know what happens when we block estrogen?
No.
Or when we don't take it.
I feel like I should know, but
yeah.
I don't.
Or when we don't take it. Like when we don't take estrogen, we lose our memory.
Yes.
83% reduction in women who take estrogen compared to women who don't in memory preservation. We get heart disease. Depending on the studies you're looking at, you're going to see between a 40 and a 60 and 80% reduction in heart disease. I say it goes to zero because I don't see it in my patients. Bone fractures. 1 in 3 women over 50 get a bone fracture and end up immobile after that and die of pneumonia. Estrogen prevents osteoporosis and reverses it. Women who don't take estrogen can't have sex because their vaginal tissue dries up. And we can't secrete, and anything penetrating is going to be painful, so now the pleasure of making love is no longer there. Hair falls out, skin dries up, we develop bellies and moodiness and insomnia. I don't know. Sign me up for that. I want to see that doctor. The doctor who doesn't prescribe estrogen. So, I mean, you knew it, though. It's just putting you guys on the spot, you know. But I know that I think you have more of a fear, Toby, of breast cancer than your sister. I felt that.
I did at the time, absolutely, because when I started seeing you in 2011, our mother had just been diagnosed with breast cancer.
Right.
So I do think I waited a couple of years, actually, until
you really felt
you finally talked me into going on it, and I feel better than ever.
Right. Well, my role is to educate people, especially people I care about, like the benefits and the risks. And in this situation, what we're talking about, there's benefits and there's zero risk. The risk is in not taking hormones. Giving the right hormone to the right patient, there's zero risks across the board. So I'm really grateful that you came around because I wanted you to have the best quality of life that you could have for both of you, of all my patients, you know.
Yeah.
And so tell me where you were, Toby, prior to starting hormones with me.
Prior to starting with you, looking back on it, I feel like I was so sick. I was struggling with constant migraines all the time.
Right.
Such low energy that an invitation would come in the mail, and I'd be like, why do people keep inviting me to things? Like, you know, I didn't want to have to juggle all the invitations.
Yeah.
And I just remember being so tired. It was a type of tired that I don't even know how to explain, other than I would go and see doctors. And I would try to tell them, I'm so tired all the time. I don't want to do anything. Their answer was to put me on antidepressants or anti-anxiety drugs. And
it's common.
I knew that wasn't the right answer. I knew something was wrong, but I knew that antidepressants weren't the answer.
Right. Did you try them?
I tried one time right after I had my daughter, Isabella, in 2002. And I was only on it for a week because it made me feel so weird.
Right.
that I stopped taking it.
You know, and what's interesting is prior to that, you didn't have that feeling. So it's not like who you were before menopause. And so instead of treating the cause, which is lack of hormones, they're treating you with a drug to make you not realize you feel so bad.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Because that's what happened in 2002 when that WHI study came out and fear just crossed America. 80% of women on hormones went off of them, and they went on to Prozac.
Oh, you're kidding.
And that's when dementia started going skyrocketing because of how much estrogen protects, even Premarin at the time, which it was, protects us against dementia.
Mm.
So, yeah, and so migraines, fatigue. How are your migraines now?
Since I was seeing you in 2011, I haven't had one.
It's amazing.
I'll get small little stress headaches mm-hmm. that I can take an Excedrin for, but I haven't taken Imitrex, which was my migraine medicine of choice at the time. I couldn't mm-hmm. leave the house without it because I never knew when a migraine was going to strike.
Wow.
And I haven't had that prescription filled since 2011.
That must have been hard for you to even believe. Like if you would carry it like panically in your purse.
My sister and I both would talk about, we're like, mm-hmm. oh my God, do you have your Imitrex? You know, don't leave the house without it.
Because you were taking it how frequently?
Oh, a couple of times a week.
Mm-hmm. Right. So we were treating a symptom of menopause with a drug that took the pain away. Like Prozac would take your, you know,
right.
belief that you're feeling so bad away possibly.
And then as they continued to get worse, I mean, there were times I remember being in Denver visiting my mom. And I was supposed to fly out the next day. I had a migraine. The Imitrex wasn't working. I had to go to the hospital, and they put me on a morphine drip.
Right, right.
And then, you know,
everyone feels good on morphine.
And then it became, you know, they would put me on diclofenac or, you know, other different types of medications. And the medications kept building up rather than getting smaller and smaller. And with you, now I'm not on any of that.
No pharmaceuticals.
No.
That makes me so proud of you. What I'm really most proud of is that you trusted me, because I wasn't sure that you were going to.
I didn't know who else to trust.
Yeah.
You know, at the time, nobody would listen to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I was so happy that you would actually listen, and you had solutions and answers.
Yeah. Well, I love what I do, as you know. You both know that. And the fatigue that you were having, where you didn't want to go to parties or anything like that, how would you describe your energy now?
My energy is at least 80% better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I still get tired when I have busy weeks, but I don't have that feeling like I don't want to go do anything.
That's amazing. Yeah. You're happier to me.
Yes.
Yeah,
a lot
you're
happier.
Yeah. I think that's really great. And that makes us so grateful for this. And I wanted to ask if you know which hormone was helping you with the migraines.
I don't.
It could be estrogen, but estradiol, I should say. Sorry, Neil. When we say estrogen, we mean Premarin. So, but I am kind of lazy sometimes, estradiol. Progesterone has a very, very, very calming effect on the brain, all aspects of the brain, whether it be migraines or lack of sleep or anxiety. Progesterone just calms the brain down from the central nervous system all the way out to the periphery. And the research on progesterone reducing the risk of migraines is really strong. And women who have low progesterone typically have migraines. So you give them progesterone, and it's a really beautiful thing. We even do injections. Some women come in when it's really bad just to get a shot, so to get ahead of it faster.
And I love the way it helps me sleep.
Right.
I've
right.
never slept better.
I know. I was looking, both of you had that insomnia like at the beginning.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Sleep, poor sleep, which that's, if I had an addiction, my mm-hmm. addiction is to progesterone.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Okay, so Paula, what were the things you were feeling prior to coming that you remember mainly?
Yeah, I think the main thing is I was, I didn't realize it then, but I do now that I think I definitely had like that brain fog.
Right.
And, mm-hmm. but I wasn't sleeping well, and I definitely was starting to have like night sweats at night.
Right.
That
right.
was, if I recall, the main reason I came in.
Mm-hmm. And that's common. Women come for night sweats, but mm-hmm. they don't realize all the benefits that you're getting, mm-hmm. like all the protection you're getting as you age, quality of life enrichment. So I'm grateful for women who have hot flashes, because when women don't have hot flashes, they don't come in, they miss out on all the protection.
Mm-hmm.
So the brain fog is so common. I hear that a lot. I forgot what I was going into the room for. You can't recall names.
Yeah. Yeah.
And usually when women ask me when they start this hormone, so I'll ask you which one it is, how long before I get my memory back, I usually say give it a month.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember a patient called on day 29, she was going to call me because she's saying there's no improvement at all. And then on day 30, she's like, oh, I feel like a different person. And she said, you asked me yesterday, I would have told you something different. But once it clicks in, it clicks in.
Yeah.
So how do you feel about your memory now?
I feel great. Mm-hmm. I mean, kind of like with Toby, I really do feel better than ever. And I do feel my memory is better. I don't feel like I'm in that fog.
Right.
And I'm not. And I was tired, too. That was another thing. Mm-hmm. I definitely had fatigue. And it was a busy time in my life. The kids were young, but I was so tired all the time.
Right.
So,
And that's one thing doctors, when I would go to them and tell them how tired I was, they'd say, well, you're a mom. You're a busy mom. You know, mm-hmm. of course you're going to be tired. Mm-hmm. And then they would just kind of brush it to the side.
Right, right. I hear that a lot, too. And the truth is, conventional doctors do not have tools for fatigue.
Mm-hmm.
They do not have tools for menopause because they're not trained in this. And so I don't fault them for what they do. They're doing what they're trained in. And historically, doctors used to criticize my work a lot. And that's also come around. Not only do I treat a lot of doctors, but a lot of them are referring to us because they now appreciate, because it took them, you know what, I can see why they're skeptic at first. What I do is not FDA approved. There's not a specialty where you go to somebody that you know is trained the way I am. You'll typically go to a gynecologist for female problems, which menopause, right, should be treated by. And men will go to a urologist for andropause. But, you know, what they get, I know because you've both been to GYNs before me, mm-hmm. and one of them I love. I mean,
right.
I have a really great relationship with him. We're going to joke about Dr. Webb a little bit. and I only do that because I love him. So your doctor had issues with the one blood test I remember recently anyway. I think it was in the last year or so.
I feel like there's always issues.
Oh, even now?
Yeah, a little bit.
Which is fine. So there's a there's always questions about the dosages I give mm-hmm. and the lab levels that I get. And this one particular doctor drew your lab, Toby, and you scheduled an appointment with me because he panicked you so much. You just wanted to ask me about this one lab test.
Exactly.
Yeah, and so the marker was sex hormone binding globulin, or SHBG. It's a protein. When it's low in our bodies, that's a strong marker of diabetes, heart disease, dementia, and for men, prostate cancer, for women, breast cancer. Right. So that's like the risk of low. Yours was flagged really high. I think normal's up to, I have it here, I'm going to say 50. Yours is like 300, right? And so he got really nervous, and he wants to protect you. He wants to do good for you.
Which is very sweet,
mm-hmm.
and I do appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so he was concerned about this number. And I wasn't doing my job right because you didn't know what to say.
Right, exactly.
So I didn't explain the importance of that number.
Right.
And so when we push up SHBG and we increase that number by giving simply oral thyroid and oral estradiol, which you're both taking both of them, mm-hmm. and the number will go up. And when that number goes up, you have a very low risk for heart disease, breast cancer, diabetes, men and prostate cancer. So it's interesting because doctors don't understand my levels, and I don't expect them to. What I like about Dr. Webb is he doesn't judge it. He may not understand it. And he may be having a hard time accepting it, but he has come the farthest on any GYN that I know with appreciating what I do. And meaning we went out a long time ago and he asked me, how do you know what you know? And I told about my teacher. And he came and he studied with Neil for one session. Like a weekend that I just did, he did level one. He goes, wow, there's a lot of information out there, isn't there? And I said, yeah. And he goes, but I'm a surgeon. Like I just don't have time. He goes, but it's amazing to know. And, so he appreciates it, but not every doctor can prescribe it. I just want to get the word out on how you feel and what risks we're reducing and that there is no risk in what you're taking whatsoever, or I wouldn't prescribe it to you.
All I can say is through this journey, I keep asking myself, am I feeling better than before?
Right.
That was kind of always my gauge. Am I feeling better than last year, than 2 years ago, 3 years ago? And each year I feel like I have more energy and I feel better than before. I'm not having migraines anymore. So to me, I look at that history and why wouldn't I continue to take the hormones?
It makes logical sense to you.
Right.
Right. Right. There's no, I think that's what happens when people get on. There is no question after that.
And then other lab tests that come back, the numbers are good. For instance, and this may be too much information, but I had the uterine ablation in 2009. Mm. And I think one of the risks with that, and tell me if I'm saying it wrong or if this is incorrect, but you have to worry about the uterine lining thickening.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I think you've told me that the progesterone helps with that.
Right.
Helps
exactly.
with keeping it thin. And so it's funny, Dr. Webb's always like, that's so interesting. Your uterine lining is so thin. How can that be? You know, and it's just, it's really cute.
It is.
But, but I'm happy to know that I do feel protected taking the progesterone.
Absolutely. And that's what, this is the main things that progesterone does. It helps us sleep, treats anxiety, reduces the risk of breast cancer significantly along with taking estradiol, protects the uterus against cancer. If the dose is high enough, I could say 100%, because the cause of uterine cancer is unopposed estrogen. And that we learned that 10 years after Premarin came on the market, every woman who had a uterus had uterine cancer. So all the first studies were on progestins, and yes, it prevented cancer, but women didn't feel good on it. And it didn't help with, you know, cholesterol, and, you know, there was other side effects with it.
And our mother was on, I think it was Premarin.
Yeah.
For years
Premarin
and years and years.
Do you know if your mom had a uterus?
She did not.
Yeah, she had a hysterectomy.
So she didn't have the progestin side.
Yes.
And I like that you brought that up, because we reduce the risk of breast cancer by taking estradiol. She was on, I'm going to say estradiol. She was on Premarin. She was getting estradiol.
Yes.
Why wasn't she completely protected against it? Why did she get it?
Yes. You mean as far as her not being on progesterone?
Well, that's a big, big, big part.
Well, because I talked to her about that the other day, and she said, she didn't. No one ever told her about it. She wasn't educated about it. None of the doctors at that time. I don't know if they even knew that that would help protect her.
No, and they don't know today, because they heard that story that hormones were risky in 2002. The risks outweighed the benefits, and so that was on progestin. And they GYNs can't click that. That's totally different than progesterone.
Mm-hmm.
Progestin's worse than breast cancer risk. But bioidentical progesterone protects it significantly, but taking Premarin should have reduced her risk of breast cancer alone, even without progesterone. But there's other factors. There's I don't know, you guys are so tiny, visceral fat's a big risk factor. That's why we want to make sure that we keep our tummies as flat as we can. That's where we hold all of our inflammation as we age. Exposures, we all have different chemicals, exposures. How does our liver get rid of them? I know I don't make glutathione. If I didn't know that, I think I'd be obese and arthritic. Like I'd have my genetic expressions, and maybe heart disease and diabetes, you know. So there's other factors in that. I don't think her cause was Premarin. I don't agree with that. I think progesterone could have helped her, but I just think there's other DNA reasons that our cells go, you know, bad. But is she on any hormones today?
I don't think they're allowing her to.
Yeah,
she said she'd do anything if she could go back on estrogen. She said that was the hardest thing estradiol to give up and not have.
Right.
After she went through her breast cancer. But no, now they won't. They're not recommending it at all.
I know. They don't recommend it. They say until you're cured. Cured is considered 5 years. So that's when she's supposed to wait until.
Which she has, but yet they haven't recommended she go
They're
back
never,
on it.
Yeah,
they
she,
never will.
Yeah. She has to talk to somebody different. But if she's 5 years past, there's no contraindication.
Yeah.
But women come to me within a year because they can't. I hear the same exact story for those who've experienced it.
Mm-hmm.
What other things? I know we wrote questions down, but we kind of went off by the cuff instead, because I just love both of you. Is there anything else that you wanted to cover for people who don't understand how safe or how nice it is to have the opportunity to be on bioidentical hormones?
One of the things I want to ask is, I remember before I was able to get into you, because you had such a long waiting list. So I started with a different doctor, and they had me try some different things, like under the tongue, some different creams, but my body was not absorbing them. Why would that be?
Yeah. Well, number one, their dosing is going to be lower than mine. Like, you start off on 0.5 milligram of estradiol, now you're on 6 milligrams.
Right.
You know, it's interesting. So even when you look at studies, if they don't use enough dosing, if they use the right dose, you're going to have a negative study. And there's a lot of negative studies out there. So it could be the dose or delivery method. Let me ask you, I'm going to see how well I'm doing my job. Why do you think I want you both on oral estradiol versus the troche or the cream? Do you know why?
To help prevent heart disease.
Yes. Yes. And do you remember how it does that, Paula?
No. In fact, I didn't even know the answer to that. No, I do not.
So there's an enzyme that we make naturally when we're young. So we don't get heart disease until we're 50, typically.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because this enzyme that's turned on with estrogen circulates in our vessel wall, preventing plaque from adhering, no matter if your cholesterol is high or low. The moment that enzyme goes to sleep, we're starting to accumulate plaque in our vessels. And that's why 50 and over, we have heart disease. You cannot turn that enzyme on with anything other than oral estradiol. If you use a cream, you don't turn that enzyme on. In fact, some of the studies that Dr. Vizier showed this weekend were on topical estradiol, and they said that compared to placebo, they had slower plaque progression, meaning it was still progressing into thicker plaque, but it was going at a slower rate than people who didn't take it. Well, what if we can get rid of that and prevent it altogether? That's what oral estradiol does. It will remodel plaque so you don't have it, and if you don't have it to begin with, that enzyme prevents you from developing it.
This is so good to know, because I have several friends that have asked me,
mm-hmm.
you know, they ask what type of estradiol I'm taking, and I tell them it's in a pill form, a capsule form, and a lot of them are either doing the
pellets,
which I've never done,
mm-hmm.
or the creams, and I'm so glad you reminded me of that, because I didn't know why. I just had this discussion with a friend of mine the other day.
Right, right. So that's the only form that will protect you against heart disease.
Yeah, I just know that I've gone to the same compound pharmacy for years, and I love the pharmacist there. And so I think I've been on this program for quite a while. And even he will say at times, you know, if I have questions for him, and he'll take all the time in the world to help answer them, that he'll say, you know, Dr. Ramsey tends to prescribe higher doses than mm-hmm. than other doctors. And
right.
he goes, but he gets it. And
right.
he understands it. And
right.
so he really never questions it.
Mm-hmm.
And he always helps explain things to me as well. But I forgot about why,
right.
you know, why I was taking the capsule versus mm-hmm. any other.
Right. So let's give a shout out to compounding pharmacies. They are
yes.
Truly best at this preventive aging time, as we go through menopause and andropause. Without them, we would not be where we are today.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I had a compounding pharmacist refuse to fill a prescription I sent in.
Oh, you're kidding.
And this is not too long ago. I'm going to mm-hmm. say a few years ago. And he said, I will not make that for you. You will have a stroke, because this patient's mother had a stroke. And she came back to me, and I went over her informed consent with her, and I explained, you know, Premarin causes strokes. Estradiol reduces the risk of strokes compared to placebo. So women who take estradiol compared to women who don't have a lower risk of strokes. So she's been on this hormone. So she went back and she told him, I'm going to take the risk of taking this. And they don't question my prescriptions anymore after that.
Mm-mm.
And some of them read the articles that I send them. But even compounding pharmacists had an issue with my prescribing. And I'm going to have her on, because her other doctor wanted to give her tamoxifen. I said, did you get the diagnosis of breast cancer? She said, no, they want to be preventive because I'm on hormones.
Wow.
So I'm going to ask her to come on here. Yeah. So, yes, oral estradiol turns an enzyme on essential to prevent heart disease. And then the biggest study to date that showed an 83% reduction in Alzheimer's and dementia, they were on oral Premarin.
Mm.
So the studies on topical estrogen are good for memory, but to me, I believe that oral estrogen is better for memory. And another risk factor people think about is blood clots with estrogen.
Right.
If I take estrogen in any form, and it is true that Premarin and birth control pills do cause blood clots in patients who have a higher risk, estradiol in every study to date has never caused a blood clot in one person, even with people with the genetic risk factors. So anyway, I know I can go on and on. I could be pretty boring, but it's so exciting. What I do is so exciting to me. And having people like you respond so well and come on here willingly to help educate people just means the world to me. Is there anything else that you wanted to share, Paula, before we end?
No,
or even
I'm
you,
so
Toby?
Happy. I'm so happy you asked this, because, I mean, I think my friends and family know I'm super passionate about it, and I had no hesitation in speaking out. In fact, for me, any of my friends who aren't on bioidentical hormones, and let's say they're tired, or they're having, you know, the hot flashes, or
like weight gain.
The biggest one is weight gain.
Sure.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, any of my friends who are maybe 45, I'd say 50 and over, and they eat right, they exercise, they go to the gym. And I know Toby and I have always been thin. However,
you've always been thinner than me.
However, we eat right, we exercise. I think this is huge in our ability to maintain our metabolism. And I find, like, I try so hard to share with my friends just if they could just get their hormone levels checked, because I do believe that a lot of their weight gain has to do with their lack of hormones.
And what do they say when you recommend it? You're right, by the way.
And so it's hard for me when, you know, they're complaining or they're upset, and they say, oh, you're so thin, and I'm, you know, yes, but I think it's for a combination and a reason. They're hesitant. They say, you're right, I should go get them tested. I will. So they always say they're going to do that. their fear is absolutely breast cancer. Mm-hmm. I mean, that I have to say, if I have to say anything, that would be the biggest fear, is their unknown of what they think this might cause.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, not knowing, and maybe not being educated.
Well, that's what the news said. Increased risk of breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to do that, take estrogen. Like,
mm-hmm.
that's basically what they said. And, you know, that wasn't true, unfortunately.
And don't they also scare women because of the progestin rather than progesterone?
Right. All they remember is that one arm in the WHI, which, you know, was stopped shorter because of all the risks involved.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm a big believer. I don't, even my gynecologist, and it wasn't Dr. Webb at the time, had suggested I go on. He wanted me to get my estradiol at a regular pharmacy. He said there's no difference, but I am so loyal to the compound pharmacist, and for whatever reason, I trust them more.
Mm-hmm.
So I've just always done the compound.
Yeah, I have a
pharmacy.
Few patients on, I would say, a dozen or less women on commercial hormones. And the one thing my teacher doesn't like, I get pretty good levels, is that the estradiol's made in China. You can, you know, look up the ingredients. They're a little bit, like, so you, when you compound something, it's really clean. They just like the raw material, you know, and they put mm-hmm. it in a capsule. And they have a lot of flexibility in their dosing. They can make it sustained release. The max milligrams that the tablet of estrace comes in is 2 milligrams, so they'd have to take 3 to take one of yours. And so it's good for customization. The progesterone, I would love to work with the makers of Prometrium, because that is a bioidentical progesterone. And they do work. They do give me really good levels. I just don't think it's very clean. It's made from peanuts, so it has these aflatoxins in it that they don't screen for. And I would love to work with them, because if it was a clean cleaner, I'd want to use it more. My patients feel fine on the commercially available. And I'm always surprised when insurance covers it. So, yeah, there is commercially available. I prefer the compound, but I meet patients where they are, and if they absolutely couldn't see me unless they had insurance cover it, then that's how I do it.
Yeah,
and
right.
What's the difference between pellets and what we take?
Well, pellets are considered topical. They would be like a cream. Like, topical means you don't swallow it and it doesn't go through your liver first pass. It goes through like second or third. And I love doing pellets, and I have a lot of pellet patients for testosterone. But I don't. I have like one or two on estradiol pellets, because I kind of switched them over to the oral once the oral studies came out, and I knew it was safe to give them without worrying about causing a heart attack or a stroke, like Premarin would in these women. So I switched everybody back to oral. But testosterone pellets people like, because they're convenient. There's no cross-contamination with kids and with women. They don't have to put a cream on every day. Pellet patients, refer pellet patients. And, you know, when I see you refer them, I know what they want. But it's a good delivery system. It's just as good as a cream.
And what if you're not feeling right? Then what do you do if it's, you know, under the skin?
Yeah, I've never had someone ask me to take it out, like it's too much. Ever. I did have one situation early on where a woman's breast turned bright red. She came in to show me before she went on a trip. I'm like, oh my gosh, it was like right after I put her pellets in. It was new to me at the time. She came back for pellets, and the next time I'm like, wait a minute, I'm not doing these on you. She goes, no, I felt great. And I kind of lowered a dosage, and then she was completely fine. Like, even with that one problem, I was like, but no, I start very low. So I tell patients, don't expect to feel anything the first time. When I see you again, we'll build upon it. And I don't do blood work every time, because I want to see how you're doing. Same like if we're adjusting thyroid or testosterone is, you know, it's based on how you're feeling, because you already met preventive aging, and if you want it higher, there's nothing wrong with that. And both of your thyroid levels were normal when we started together.
Mm-hmm.
I think you were hesitant about that too.
I was.
Why would I take it? And so I have this column that shows you normal and optimal. And my conversation with patients is always, how do we want to live optimally, not normally? Because what's normal? Pain, weight gain, lack of libido, painful sex, diabetes, heart disease, dementia, osteoporosis. So what I want patients to know, and I really like the FDA to know, how, number one, safe what we do is, how efficacious it is, and how we could be saving, you know, people from polluting their body with so many chemical drugs, and helping people just feel better while reducing risk. You know, sometimes you think you have to trade something for something else. I have to feel better now, but I'm going to die sooner. No, there's longevity studies on what we do as well.
I want to say, too, like what Toby said, thank goodness, I don't take any other prescription medication either. And mm-hmm. we both suffered with migraines. My migraines are, you know, I would say 90% better. It's, if I do get one, it's really my fault. It's mm-hmm. more of a lack of sleep or too much coffee or, it's something I've induced, not something my body would probably do on its own. So, but I don't take any other prescription medication.
And I feel like that's evidence right there. I mean, I went from being on Imitrex and a little bit of Xanax here and there, and I'm trying to think what the other ones were, but now I'm on nothing but progesterone, testosterone, estradiol, and thyroid.
Right. And so you're on things supporting your aging process, not suppressing and manipulating it. It's just supporting it the way you lived when you were younger. So I'm not changing anything. We're just kind of allowing your cells to turn over like they did when you were younger.
And I feel like my immunity is better.
Yes, that's true. You had low white count for a long time.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm a huge believer in vitamin D, too, all because of you. I remember I had to go in for ACL surgery 5-6 years ago, and I was so low, and you put me on 50,000 milligrams for 2 weeks.
Right.
And I think when I was having my operation, the nurse asked me, and before they could proceed, she had to go talk to a doctor because she said, I've never heard of anybody being on it, you know, that high of a dose. However, it was so low, it was only for 2 weeks, but Toby and I and other family members of ours are, it's just huge what it's done to our lives as far as helping us feel better.
Absolutely.
And healthier, not have as many colds and sinus infections. And I don't know, it's just amazing for your immune system, I believe.
Yes, and there's three systems that work together. The immune system and endocrine system is two, and the other is a nervous system. So the stronger your endocrine system, the stronger your immune system and nervous system will be, because they can't work alone. Right? So we don't take hormones. We're going to be more emotional. We're not going to sleep. We may be irritable. Divorce rate goes up. You know, I mean, I really think that happens. That means the world to me that, you know, you're willing to share. Again, I know I said this earlier, but this is how we can communicate to larger people. And this is how we can collect data for the FDA, especially since they're recognizing us for what we're doing for the virus right now. I think that maybe things are changing. It makes me really happy.
Good news.
So let's say again, thank you to Dr. Webb. I think you're the best GYN in town. Thank you to Compounding Pharmacists, whether you know why I prescribe like I prescribe or not. And thank you to all of my patients who have been so loyal in seeing us and letting us support your health needs. We look forward to seeing more of your family members and friends now. And I wanted to just plug my book. It's in the second edit. It's called The Hormone Book, and it should be out in the fall of this year. And basically, my chapters are, you know, heart disease, breast cancer, prostate cancer, you know, all the research on them. So I'm really excited about that. I can't wait for that to come out, because really, when it's the end of the day for me, educating people and helping people feel better, I feel like I've lived a good day. You know, like it feels like, I mean, I'm getting emotional about it, but I feel like this is really where God wanted me to be, because I love it so much. My patients are so appreciative.
Well, I know I speak for Paula too, I think, but thank you for the work that you do. I don't know what I would do without you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
I hear that a lot, and it's just like really getting to me. So thank you for being here again.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you.
And thank you for listening to our website today. Revitalize Functional Medicine is the name of our office. We're on Scottsdale and Jackrabbit. And just to close, I want you to live each day as if it were your very last. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening. Health happens at Revitalize, the Arizona leaders in functional medicine. Join us here each week as we help you be the best you, right here at StarWorldwideNetworks.com.